This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center, and it's another week. That means another show where we talk about life, we celebrate life, and we talk about Hope Resource Center and all that's going on around the country. And so what we're going to do today is we are going to focus on a theme, and the theme for this hour is a conversation to be had. So that's what I want to focus on today. So what does that mean? This next hour, I hope to unpack that as we look at conversations that we can have that will celebrate life, that will easily illustrate who we are, where we stand on issues, and conversations that that really are lacking in today's society. Not only civil conversations, that is the key, but just conversations in general that are lacking, deeper conversations that we need to be having with each other, with our neighbors, with our families, with friends, just so we can understand each other and understand where we are coming from. So oftentimes I talk about the work that needs to be done. So a lot of times I talk about, you know, coming and volunteering at Hope or standing with a pregnancy center in your geographical area. But what I want to do today is talk about our words and our conversations as we walk through that. So if we are pro-life, if we are standing for every life, what does that look like in terms of our relationships and our dialogue? So that is what we want to do. So that's what we are going to spend the hour on today. So a few weeks ago, I discussed the narrative of our day, a narrative that is destructive to life. I focused on the work of pregnancy centers and putting our pro-life stance to action. Well, today I want to expound on that and discuss changes that can be made in our conversations as we continue to wade out into the deep of this very important issue. So what constitutes life? What is it that makes different species recognize life in another? When does said life begin? Do these questions make you uncomfortable? Unfortunately, these are the questions in need of answers, but the dialogue or vitriol that follows tends to be a repellent to our search for logical conclusions. I am unequivocally pro-life. I do not hide this fact. You can see that on my social media. You can hear that on this radio show. I believe that life begins at conception. This isn't just an opinion. This is supported biblically and scientifically, and we're going to dive into that in the next segment. This is where I stand, but I am not naive. I realize that many in this country and around the globe, even in my family, disagree with me. This disagreement, however, should not drive an irreversible wedge between us. This disagreement should drive us to a discussion on a path forward. My goal, as stated in previous posts and conversations, is to see abortion become unthinkable in a civilized society. This doesn't happen overnight, just like the decision made in Roe v. Wade didn't happen overnight. We must be willing to put in the work if we ever wish to see the thinkable become unthinkable. This work finds success through both pregnancy centers and dialogue. Many of you desire to have these conversations, but you're not sure how to enter into them. Do you tread lightly, or do you go in like a caged animal on the loose? One would assume that there is a simple conclusion here, but this life issue is a very passionate one. This means we must be intentional with our emotions and attempt to keep them in check. We may believe wholeheartedly that we are right, but that doesn't give us permission to aggressively attack another. Many seek to steer away from conversations that create tension or uncomfortable moments. We coil at the thought of awkward disagreements. We fear our ability to cohesively articulate our viewpoint. This fear then drives us to be silent. In essence, we hold our values sacred, but not sacred enough to debate them or have to answer questions about them. This is a losing strategy. Do your values or principles permeate every aspect of your life? Do they drive you to engagement or disengagement? We cannot claim truth on Sunday and then place that truth on the mantle the rest of the week or check that truth at the door of the voting booth. The abortion lobby, in my estimation, finds success in the support of the political and social elite. This emboldens them to pick up the pace and dominate the conversation. We, on the other hand, tend to hesitate because we have a truth that may upset the apple cart and are unwilling to share or share so aggressively that we turn people away. Can we find a happy median? Do we have the ability to package our message of life neatly enough that it will fall on open ears? I'm not calling for us to compromise our beliefs or water down our messaging. I am instead calling for us to stake our messaging in love and logic. This is our foundation, a foundation that will not return void if we are willing to step out with confidence, courage, and willingness. confidence in our messaging, courage in our relationships, and willingness to go deeper. We are on the side of life. We are on the side of the most vulnerable. We are on the side of the downtrodden and the marginalized. We are on the side of the oppressed. We are on the side of the orphan. We are on the side of women's health. We are on the side of the woman, man, baby, and family. This is not the losing side. This is the side of all that is good in the world. This is social justice at its core, standing for those that cannot stand for themselves. Do not be ashamed of our message. Take that message to the masses as you seek to see life celebrated. Be willing to have the conversation. Be willing to speak the truth, but also be willing to continue relationships with those that disagree with you. Don't let your anger and disdain for a particular position on an issue drive you away from your foundation of love and logic. It is not extreme to claim that life begins at conception. It is not extreme to celebrate life, a life in the womb along with the life outside of the womb. It is not extreme to believe a product of conception is a human being that deserves a right to live. It is not extreme to partner with and serve at a pregnancy center in your geographical area. Painting these beliefs as extreme is a coordinated effort by the abortion lobby to distract us and to silence us. We must meet this effort with love, logic, and truth. Meeting this effort with hate and vitriol will make everyone a loser. We should not be ashamed of our celebration of life. We should be honored to carry the torch for the movement in word and deed. So that is what we are to do. A conversation must be had. If we cannot dialogue on this, then we will be unsuccessful in ever stating our case. That's why it's so important. Working and getting your hands dirty is certainly important and key. That's why we do what we do at Hope Resource Center every day. That's why we're always looking for supporters and donors and volunteers. That's why I met today with a photographer and looking for ways to partner with her in our ministry. Because working and getting your hands dirty is very important. But that's not the only thing we need to do. It is time for us to do more. Are you willing to have these conversations? Is your position based in love and logic or anger and hatred? So think about that for a second. Is your pro-life position, your position that requires you to celebrate life, is that one based in anger and hate or love and logic? These are questions we must ask ourselves. A lot of times we talk about the dialogue with one another, but what about the dialogue within ourselves? And where our opinions and our thoughts come from. We cannot be pro-life and hate our neighbor. We cannot be pro-life and allow anger to be our motivator. Now, do you hear that? We cannot run around and claim that we love life and we celebrate life and we're opposed to abortion and we stand for all the pro-life movement and then hate our neighbor. We can't be driven by anger and hate, and then claim to be pro-life. I encourage you to seek out conversations and celebrate civility. Be bold and strong, but not hate-filled. That is what we have to do as the pro-life generation. So regardless of where you are right now, regardless of how old you are, how big your family is, where you're from, if you are pro-life, I think it's important that we look inward and say, where does that stance come from? Because I'm here to tell you, for a long time in my life, my pro-life stance was based in hate and anger. I couldn't stand the other side. Their opinions and their talking points brought out an anger inside of me that I can't even explain. So when I was in college, I was very vocal, had a lot of opinions, imagine that. But what I would do is I would answer aggressively with people, really up until my senior year of college. But I was very aggressive in my stance. And now some would say, well, you had every right to be aggressive because the other side was being aggressive. But again, we don't meet hate with hate. Then everyone loses. So what I see now is a lot of that was based in bitterness and anger toward the other side and wanting to crush the other side. My goal is not to crush the other side. My goal is to see the other side, the abortion lobby, come out and say, we were wrong. Life does have value. And then my goal is to welcome them and love them. Even now, as we disagree, I love them and I care about them. And their life has value. So again, we can't be pro-life and then determine which lives have more value. We can't do that. Life matters. That's the mantra at Hope Resource Center. That's why we had the shirts that we had. We're working on some new ones. Life matters. That's why we do what we do. We get up every day because that is the truth, that life, every single life, has value and matters to us. And so as you have these conversations, as you look to have these discussions, I'm not saying that every opportunity that you sit down with family or friends, you need to immediately open up with, hey, what's your opinion on abortion? Like, I'm not telling you to do that. That's insane. But there's no question, periodically, these conversations will come up. Are you prepared to have those conversations? Are you prepared to ask questions? Are you prepared for them to ask questions? We're going to deal with that later on in the show, but what we have to do is think through that, both inwardly and outwardly. So we're going to talk more about that. But when we come back, what I want to do is look at why I believe life begins at conception, both biblically and scientifically. We'll be back in a sec. And we're back. This is Andrew Wood. Thanks for listening today. What we're talking about today is a conversation that is to be had. So we need to be having conversations with folks about life. And we can't have those conversations if we don't even know where we stand on the life issue, if we're not prepared to answer questions. And before I get into my next topic, where I'm going to look at biblically and scientifically why I believe life begins at conception, someone called in and asked when our banquet is in April. April 28th, our banquet is at the Foundry on the Fair site. This is a fundraising banquet for Hope Resource Center, April 28th. The doors will open at 6 p.m., and we hope to see you there. You can sign up on our website, investinghope.com, and go to the events tab, and then you can go from there. We'd love to see you there. But right now, what I want to do is look at why I believe life begins at conception. So why should we value life? Psalm 103 says this, "Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." Then Isaiah 44, verse 24. "Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer and the one who formed you from the womb. I, the Lord, am the maker of all things, stretching out the heavens by myself and spreading out the earth all alone." Isaiah 64, verse 8. "But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou our potter, and all of us are the work of thy hand." Who is the creator of the preborn? That's a question that we might need to be prepared to answer. Psalm 139, starting with verse 13, says this, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed, and your book they were all written. The days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them." Jeremiah 1:5, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." And it goes on and on. We see how God loves the preborn. Galatians 1, verse 15, "But when he who had set me apart before I was born and had called me through his grace." And then Ephesians 1, 3 through 4, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ for giving us through Christ every possible spiritual benefit as citizens of heaven. For consider it what he has done. Before the foundation of the world, he chose us to become in Christ his holy and blameless children, living within his constant care." And then we see, well, are the unborn humans? "When Elizabeth heard Mary's greetings, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, saying, 'As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb jumped for joy.'" That's Luke 1. And then we have Luke 2. "The Lord Jesus Christ began his incarnation as an embryo, growing into a fetus, infant, child, teenager, and adult. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son." I mean, think about that. Think about that. Should a child who might be born deformed or disabled be aborted? Now listen to this. Exodus 4. So the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? 1 Corinthians 1. Yet to shame the wise, God has chosen what the world counts folly. And to shame what is strong, God has chosen what the world counts weakness. And I can go on and on with the biblical text that points to why life begins at conception. I mean, it tells us, before the foundations of the earth, God knew me. Now, how is that possible? He knitted me together in my mother's womb. Knitted me together in my mother's womb. That's the biblical stance of why life begins at conception. What about the scientific stance? Human development, this is from Princeton, okay? So these are not, again, this is not something I made up. This is medical journals, okay? Development of the embryo begins at stage one. Human development begins after the union of a male and female germ cells during a process known as fertilization or conception. Fertilization is a sequence of events that begins with the contact of sperm with an ovum and ends with the fusion and the mingling of their chromosomes to form a new cell. Embryo, the developing organism from the time of fertilization until significant change has occurred when the organism becomes known as a fetus. Embryo, an organism in the earliest stage of development in a man from the time of conception to the end of the second month in the uterus. The development of human beings begin with fertilization, a process by which two highly specialized cells from the male and the female unite to give rise to a new organism. And again, this is all medical journals. That was listed on Princeton's website. I mean, so they go on and on. Again, so scientifically, it's not just biblical. It's not just us Christians thinking it. It is science and medical doctors thinking it. So I would say that among most scientists, this is from a doctor, senior staff scientist, and listen to what he says. I would say that among most scientists, the word embryo includes the time from after fertilization. And then here's another doctor. The development of a human begins with fertilization, a process by which, and again, I've already talked about that, where the sperm meets the egg and we have fertilization. Then here's another one. The question came up of what is an embryo? When does an embryo exist? When does it occur? I think, as you know, that in development, life is a continuum. But I think one of the useful definitions that has come out, especially from Germany, has been the stage at which these two nuclei come together and the membranes between the two break down. And again, it goes on and on. So saying that life begins at conception is, for some, that seems extreme. And some people want to say things like, well, it's my body, my choice. I can do what I want to with my body, which is just, that doesn't work any other way or in any other situation. Some people say, well, it's a blob of cells. It's just tissue. It doesn't have value. It isn't anything. And we know that's not true. They know that's not true. If you never had the pleasure of seeing an ultrasound, you can do a quick Google search and see an ultrasound clearly at every stage of development. And you know when life begins. I mean, we all know that pregnancy produces a baby, right? I mean, we all know that if a woman carries that child full term, you know, if there's no medical issues or anything like that, that's going to produce a baby. We were all formed that way. We were all made that way. So it's not crazy to say life begins at conception. Science and biblical theologians back this up. You know, I once heard a presidential candidate say when he was, you know, faced with these questions, and he kept being pressed and saying, well, science doesn't back you up. And his answer was, well, it's not going to turn into a cat. Like, we know that if you have a positive pregnancy test and there's no miscarriage or anything like that, a baby 9 months later is going to come. Like, we know that. There's no questioning that. There are billions of people walking around this earth right now because their life begin at conception, right? I mean, so it's almost laughable that we have to have that conversation. But what that points to is a deeper issue. And we'll talk about that in the next segment as we look at what does that mean then? If we believe life begins at conception and the other side believes it doesn't, then where are we going to find common ground? Where can we meet together and have those conversations? So that's what we have to be prepared to do, is not only answer questions in our own minds and hearts, but be able to ask questions from the other side and have those conversations. Well, I believe life begins here. When do you believe life begins? So what does that mean? When is abortion okay? When is it not okay? Don't be scared of those conversations, because if we stay calm and civil, then we can have that dialogue and everyone will go home okay and not angry. And we're going to walk through that process when we come back. And we're back. Thanks for listening. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. The theme today is a conversation to be had. So how do we have those pro-life discussions and conversations with family, friends, maybe people we go to church with? Again, if these conversations ever come up, are we prepared to have them, or do we immediately deflect and say, yeah, I don't really want to talk about that. Let's talk about something else. Let's talk about the weather. Let's talk about UT football. Let's talk about anything but those hot button topics. Well, what I want to do is prepare you, help you prepare for those conversations. So I want to spend the next few minutes discussing actual conversations, kind of walking through what you might see and questions you might be faced with. So how do these typically go? Think about that. Have you ever had that pro-life discussion, the abortion conversation? How does that typically go? Probably bad. I mean, I think we've all had those conversations where we look back and go, wow, I really failed. Or maybe you got your point across, but you were real hateful and aggressive, and so you didn't win. I mean, you might have thought you won the argument, but you certainly didn't win them over. You just pushed them even further away. So because these conversations may come up, we need to be prepared. We sometimes can be too passionate. I think it's important to know that. I'm very passionate about life. I'm very passionate about politics. I'm very passionate about religion. So at times when those conversations are brought up, it's real hard for me. Sometimes I have to really watch myself, because it's easy to get overly passionate, and sometimes that overly passionate part of me comes out as anger or bitterness or hate. My voice sometimes finds itself at a different level. And so we have to be careful with that. We cannot let our anger get the best of us. Now it's okay to be passionate. We want you to be passionate. I want our staff at Hope to be passionate, our volunteers to be passionate, our board to be passionate. But we can't let that passion move over to anger. I mean, look at the current political process. How many folks are passionate about a certain candidate and they've allowed that to turn into anger toward others, right? So they want to go out and crush the other side. We have to be careful with that. We must approach carefully. If and when these topics come up, we should welcome them. I mean, I think we should be okay with having these discussions. We should be okay with asking questions. So questions like this: when do you believe life begins? Now, if you don't know that answer in your own heart and mind, maybe you don't need to ask someone else just yet. Unless you're asking just to get a sense, not asking to start a debate. But ask yourself that question: when do you believe life begins? And then ask, when do you believe abortion is wrong? So at what stage in development is abortion okay, and what stage of development is abortion wrong? That's a question that we need to wrestle within ourselves, and also a question that we can have a dialogue with someone else about. Now understand, as you're asking these questions, the person that you're having this conversation with will ask you questions as well. So be prepared to answer honestly and calmly. I mean, you can't seek to dive into those issues and not expect them to ask you questions back. So be prepared to to step into that. Then ask more questions. I love questions because it tells you a lot about someone's character. It tells you a lot about where they stand on the issues. So asking questions is a good thing. Asking questions of yourself and of others. So remember, logic and love always wins. Now, I know that many have never thought very much about this. So more than likely, the people that you're going to have a conversation with haven't given a lot of thought to where they stand. You know, maybe they're pro-choice, but they don't really know why. Maybe they're pro-life, but they don't really know why. They can't articulate that position. Maybe you can't. Maybe you're sitting here going, wow, I've never really thought. I mean, I've always been pro-life, but I don't really know how to articulate my pro-life stance. Or I've always been pro-choice, and I don't really know how to articulate my pro-choice stance. So we need to be looking at that and figure out a way to go deeper. You know, and one of the questions I like to ask, is abortion okay? And then you just start naming months. So do you believe abortion's okay at 9 months? Yes or no? More than likely, depending on who you're talking to, they're going to say no. Say, okay, well, do you believe that abortion is okay at 8 months? Do you believe abortion is okay at 7 months, at 6 months, at 5 months, at 4 months? And go until they say yes. So let's say you get to 3 months, and that person says, yes, I believe abortion is okay at 3 months. Not after, but at 3 months, I believe it is okay. So what about 3 months and 1 day? What about 3 months and 2 days? What about 3 months and a week? Does that change anything for you? It's just a few days. How much development really happens from 3 months to 3 months and 2 days? See, these are questions that we have to wrestle with. These are questions that they should wrestle with if you're asking them about it. So then go further with them. Because what this does is it creates a deeper thinking for everyone. And what it also shows is just a few days matters greatly. Right? I mean, a few days could make a difference on whether this baby is allowed to live or not. So if they're okay with abortion at 2 months, but not 2 months and 2 days, well, that's something they should have to grapple with and truly get an understanding of why is it okay 2 days before, but not 2 days after. So to defend and justify, we need to be prepared to defend and justify our stance. I mean, are you prepared to defend your stance? I mean, saying that you're pro-life creates a lot of animosity with people. We've been looking at doing some more shirts, and I sent out a shirt idea to a few friends of mine that are absolutely pro-life. And the shirt just said pro-life. That's it. That's all it said. And every one of them said, you know, yeah, I'm pro-life, but that has a negative connotation. That kind of bothered me, I'll admit. So be prepared. When you say you're pro-life, even pro-lifers are going to go, eh, I don't know if we need to use that terminology, which is insane, but that's something to think about. So we need to be thinking deeply about these issues. Did you know that 50% of the time we agree with pro-choice people? Did you know that? Because 50%, you know, roughly 50% of the time, life is chosen. So they would agree with us that we need places like Hope Resource Center and we need options, because if you're truly pro-choice, then you have to understand that there are times where people choose life and not abortion. So we stand with those. So in reality, we would stand with pro-choice folks there. Now, again, that's going to make some pro-choice folks have to think deeper about what they believe. It's going to make them really uncomfortable to know that we would ever have common ground with each other. So then you talk about that further with them. So let's talk about that as well with when moms choose life. What do we do for them? See, at Hope Resource Center, when life is chosen, we offer a parenting class. We offer material assistance. in baby showers. We're doing 10 baby showers this week. We offer a mentor. We do follow-ups. We partner with a photographer today, and we're going to have pictures with the babies and their moms and their dads. See, we go the extra mile for these women. Not just because they chose life, but because they matter to us. And you know what? Even if they walk out of our building and get an abortion, you know what we're going to do? We're going to follow up with them. And if they ever have need for Hope Resource Center again, we don't put a red check beside their name. Oh, they had an abortion. We can't see them ever again. No, we serve them and we love them. And we offer all of our services at no cost. $550,000 a year worth of services at no cost to the patient. Now, you show me an abortion clinic that is doing that anywhere. That's why I think the pro-choice terminology isn't really an accurate portrayal of what they believe. Because if it were, then they would celebrate the fact that some choose life. They would celebrate that. They wouldn't charge ridiculous amounts of money for an ultrasound and pregnancy test. We had a patient come in yesterday, faced with an unplanned pregnancy, completely shocked, was not prepared to have that news. And she actually was told that not by us. She found out from another avenue. And the first place she went was one of the abortion clinics in town because a friend took her there. So she went in there and she told them what was going on. And they said, well, we can't even begin to guess how far along you are. And we could give you an ultrasound, but you'd have to pay for that. And that's going to cost $199 and you don't have that. So there's just really nothing we can do for you. Now, you know why they did that? Now, if that girl would have walked in there and said, you know what, I've made my mind up. I want an abortion. Do you think they would have let her out of that facility? No, they wouldn't have. They would have figured out a way. But because this girl was kind of on the fence, and I kind of want to have this baby, they were rude to her. And they said, we can't do anything for you. Now, the reason they did that is because their model and their mission is based on line items in the budget and not on people. So when this girl tells her friend, look, I need to get out of here, and then comes the Hope Resource Center, she's not a line item in our budget. She's a person that matters deeply to us. Not just her and her, not just her baby, but she matters to us. Now, I pray that she chooses life, but regardless, what she knows is there's a couple places in town, one that's an abortion clinic and one that's a pro-life clinic. And the pro-life clinic loved me and served me well and didn't charge me a dime. And the abortion clinic was only seeking to get money out of my pocket. Now, you tell me who's extreme and you tell me who loves. That's the messaging we have to get out to our friends, neighbors, and family. When we come back, we'll talk more about this. And we're back. This is Andrew Wood. Thanks for listening today. We're always excited to be here on Tuesday afternoons to talk about Hope Resource Center and life. And I did mention a little bit earlier that April 28th, we're having our spring fundraising banquet. We hope to see you out there. You can learn more at investinghope.com. Also this week, be in prayer because we are throwing 10 baby showers for patients this week. And that is happening on Thursday. And that's just a great opportunity to love and serve our neighbors. And so that's what we're going to be doing. And just we really are just in awe that we even get to participate in that. So please be in prayer for our patients and our staff as we throw those baby showers on Thursday. So today's theme was a conversation to be had. As we look through our pro-life stance, we have to look inward and have a conversation with ourselves and say, okay, where do I stand on life? When does life begin? Am I for abortion at any time? Am I for, am I against abortion no matter what? And, you know, where do we stand on these issues and be prepared to have those difficult conversations? But we have to be bold in that. But we also have to have that rooted in love and logic. So we need to be, we need to have substance with our conversations. We need to read. I know that's crazy, but we need to read articles and books about to help us think deeply about these issues. We need to seek to be civil and loving. This is who we are. What we don't want is to let everything about us say aggressive, hateful, bitter, and anger. That is not who we are. What I want people to see when they talk to me about pro-life issues, even if they disagree with me, I want them to walk away and say, I don't agree with him, but he believes fully what he says, and at least he's not being hateful and bitter about it. You know, a lot of times when we look at, you know, as I ended the last segment, I was talking about a patient that came in and her experience at an abortion clinic versus the experience at Hope Resource Center. You know, one thing that tends to get lost in the shuffle is we need to have a conversation about requirements and requirements for abortion clinics and pro-life pregnancy centers. There should be a high standard we're held to. At Hope Resource Center, we sought out accreditation on our own because we care about women and we want to hold ourselves to a higher standard. We sought to become an ambulatory service center. We are seeking to be more than what we are required to be because we care deeply about life and women's health. So again, it's not extreme when abortion clinics are asked to be held to a higher standard. Do you not want medical clinics across the board to be held to a certain standard so that you know when you're husband, wife, daughter, son, mom, grandma, granddad, whoever walks into those clinics are going to be taken care of well? That's not extreme. That's not too much to ask. So again, we can't get to that place where we have agreement unless we have conversations. And those conversations must be civil and rooted in love and logic. You can't argue with logic. You can argue with hate and bitterness, but you can't argue with logic because logic is just fact. So that's why it's important that we understand the facts within our own argument so that when we find ourselves in those situations where we're having the opportunity to talk to someone about life, that we can have that discussion and still go out to dinner with a friend. We can have that discussion and still have a cup of coffee with someone. We can have that discussion and we're not putting an irreversible wedge in between us because we disagree on a topic. I've never seen a political climate like we have today. Now, yes, we've had some pretty crazy campaigns in the past, but there is more anger and hate in the political climate now than it's just shocking. And logic and facts are being pushed to the side. And principles and values are being pushed to the side because one's agenda is more important. Or crushing the other side is more important. That is not why we do things. Our goal at Hope Resource Center is to serve and love the people of this community. It's not to crush the other side. Do I long to see abortion clinics close? Sure. My goal is not to crush them. My goal is that our messaging would be so amazing that people just continue to come to us. Right? So we have to be civil. Now, being civil and rooted in love and logic doesn't mean you're passive, and it doesn't mean you're sitting on your hands, and it doesn't mean that you're watering down your message. Be bold and passionate about your message. Just be logical about it. And it's crazy that we even have to ask that of people, but that's where we're at today. Logic and facts are pushed to the side for one's agenda. So I encourage you to look within yourself and see where you stand on these issues. And then when those conversations come up, be prepared. Be willing to have a conversation. Be willing to say, you know what, I don't know, I'm going to have to think through that more. That's okay. You don't have to have all the answers. Be willing to say, you know, that's a good point. I really haven't thought about that, and I'm going to think about that, and we're going to continue this conversation. You know, be willing to do that. That's how civility and dialogue is supposed to happen. We are not know-it-alls, although some of us think we are. But I can assure you there are things you're not sure about and you don't know. So I just encourage you to as you walk through this and as you kind of walk through what your pro-life stance is, just be prepared. Ask yourself the tough questions. And then ask tough questions of others. That's how we make the thinkable become unthinkable in a civilized society. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week to talk more about Hope Resource Center. This is Andrew Wood. We'll talk to you soon. Lift your head, weary sinner. The river's just ahead.